Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. Got a special offer for you guys. Listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online, get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghoststories. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a group of kids stumble into a paranormal encounter while playing outside late at night?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. And 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you'd like access to all of our bonus episodes, you hear people on the show all the time talking about being an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. When you do that, you get access to all those bonus episodes, our advanced episodes of the show, and the archive, which is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. You get all of that, only $5 a month, all of it commercial free. No ads in there at all, so you can just sit there, binge away, episode by episode, and enjoy your ghost stories. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's up?
In reference to tonight's story with playing outside late, right?
Uh-huh.
Did you ever play Ghosts in the Graveyard?
I did. Remind me how that works. That was what I did play.
And it's so funny because I went camping with my sisters over the weekend and we were talking about that and just laughing our butts off. But I think it is like you have a point where it's like a front porch or a backyard light or something like that, which is like home base.
Yeah.
And then everybody scatters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person has to go out and try and find them as they're walking back into base.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't get caught by, we used to also call it, there ain't no devils out tonight. So don't get caught by the devil because they're lurking for you kind of thing.
Okay. Okay.
So that's how we would play it. I just remember like every time I'd play it, I had to pee my pants because it would be so freaky.
So to get caught, do you have to like get tagged by the person who's?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it sounds like a flashlight tag. It's like you have to go tap them to make it official.
You do. You have to touch them, and if they run from you and make it to the back porch or that safe place, you know they don't catch you. But man, just never knowing where they're coming out from.
That was a fun game.
Scary.
I want to go play that now.
And I lived in the country, so it was pitch black out there, except for maybe the moon if you're lucky.
I remember playing that, and I have one memory that comes to my mind. I was in my backyard there, and the neighbors had grandkids, and there's kind of like a big hill and ledge type thing, but you could go up it. It was climbable, and there was some like flat spaces in there. I remember playing that with them one night, and I remember going way back, like there was a little inlet into this woods. And if you keep going through these woods, you actually end up in a very creepy cemetery. But it's a bit of a distance from exactly that point. But I was in there and I remember being so freaked out because it was just this perfect, like just dome of trees that kind of just covered you as you walked through this big inlet area. And at night with the moon kind of coming through it, it almost felt like you were in kind of this creepy cathedral type thing because all those branches are. Yeah, I remember that. That was in my mind. I remember always looking down at the end of this little tunnel thing and thinking, wow, that would be the perfect place for like just kind of that ghostly apparition to show up, just kind of like sitting there. I never saw that, but I do remember thinking that, and then it freaked the hell out of me and I ran back because I think like the campfire was our base. But that was fun. Gosh, I want to play that now.
As adults, we can't run quite as fast.
Yeah.
And
you'll need like a medic on hand with a lot of first aid kits for everybody tripping and everything.
Although correct.
The other night, me and Harper did play, I found Super Soakers at the store.
Oh.
And they were the same models as our childhood ones. And so I bought some of those. So we were out playing that in the dark, and that was pretty fun. Wasn't quite the zombie type thing of Ghosts in the Graveyard, but we were kind of hiding in different places, and I ended up scratching my knee up pretty good. And I think, and my shoulder it still hurts. as I was on the ground, like crawling. And now it's like, oh my God, I haven't been able to use my rowing machine for like 2 weeks because my shoulder is messed up.
Listen, I don't even have to be rolling on the ground with a super soaker. I can barely walk up the stairs without my hip bothering me. So
maybe that idea of playing that game is not such a great one.
In slow motion. Yeah. We have to play in slow motion, everybody.
The thought that counts. So we can just all do it like in hover rounds or something.
There you go. I like that.
That'd be great. Back to our conversation in just a moment. First, I want to thank a supporter of ours today on the program, BetterHelp. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, there's so many things that can be out there right now. Getting back to the school season, getting out of kind of summer, you know, getting close to getting out of summer and just, you know, figuring out life and all the COVID stuff that we're still dealing with. It can take its toll. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. Now, it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may or may not be available locally for you. And it's available to you worldwide. So if you travel, anything like that, you can get this no matter where you go. You can log into your account anytime, send a message to your therapist. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. So you'll never have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room and wait and wait and wait and look at those sticky magazine pages. I know that's always weird. You don't have to worry about that. Okay. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it super easy and free to change therapists when you need, if you need. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read the testimonials that are posted daily. There's so many of these. Every single time I check it, there's new ones. This one says, Marley was a therapist that I chose to stay with after other attempts because she did have a clear plan and helped me work on specific goals. Her attitude is always generous, yet firm or focused. She's completely professional. Very pleased. Strongly recommend. So many people with positive stories about BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ghost stories. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Right now, you guys, listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online, can get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/ghost stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First story says, I just shared a story last night of a few things that I experienced when I was growing up. The house in Oregon, the move, the white lady, our dog that visited us after he died. It was late, so I ended up in there. But I did sign up to be an EPP before I went to sleep. Now, I want to share the other thing, if you can call it that, that happened to me. It happened one night while me and my siblings were playing hide and seek outside, like we had done tons of times before. We lived in about a half an acre. The house was on two lots, the garage on one, and then we had what we called the corner lot because it was on the edge of the property where the streets intersected. A creek ran through the corner lot, and when there was not water flowing, us kids would be playing on it. The creek ran through that lot on an angle from the back corner where the side street met the lot and under the street that ran in front of the house. It kind of turned the corner lot into a triangle where it ran under the street. It was all cement, kind of like two by three square tunnels side by side. It made for a good hiding spot at night when we played hide and seek. Well, until this night, it was my sister's turn to seek. So she was counting at the side of the house near the garage with that porch light on. That's the only light we allowed ourselves to have on during hide-and-seek. Our parents were out on a date, so us kids were having fun being home alone. When she started counting, we all scrambled. I started for the front of the house where we had a couple streets or a couple trees and some bushes that I would hide in, but one to two of my brothers were already making their way into the bushes, so I darted for a trusty hiding spot I had in the creek. I was running at full speed towards the spot because she was already halfway through the count. Crossing the driveway, I was looking down in front of me to make sure I did not trip on the edges of the cement as I came across them. And as soon as I took my first step off the far edge of the driveway, I looked up towards the creek where I was running to, and I stopped dead in my tracks. There was someone standing there, or something. I only saw it from the waist up because it appeared to be standing in the creek, directly in the path I was going from my hiding spot. It was black, like a silhouette, solid black. It looked like the figure of a muscular man, but with a Rottweiler head. It was looking right at me. The only thing I remember is that I turned and ran the opposite way faster than I'd ever ran before. Later, the guy my mom was dating, by this time my mom and first stepdad were divorced, pulled me out of the cabinet under the kitchen sink. I guess you could say I woke up or snapped back into reality then. My sister was standing there freaking out and had been crying. I asked them what was going on. Apparently, after I turned and ran, I ran into the house, through the front door, into the kitchen, and tucked away under the sink and hid there for at least 3 hours. When my sister finished counting, she started running around trying to find us all. She found one or two of the others that made it to base, but she could not find me. One of our rules we made was that we were not allowed to hide in the house, so nobody looked there. I was always particularly good at hiding, so they always had trouble finding me, but she couldn't find me. I eventually started helping her after she gave up. They looked everywhere and even started looking in the house, but they never looked under the sink because there was too much stuff under there, and I would have not fit without taking stuff out. After they really could not find me, they called the place where my mom was on her date, and they rushed home. They were yelling for me to come out of hiding, but I did not hear them. And they looked all over, outside and inside, even in the attic. Finally, for some reason, the guy my mom was dating looked under the sink, and there I was, tucked in behind all the stuff with the closed door. I guess I blacked out, too. I do not remember a thing after I turned and ran. Before they pulled me out, the last thing I remember is crossing the driveway, running away from whatever it was that was staring at me from the creek. That was the only time I've ever seen it, but I never hid in the creek again. Nobody else saw it at night. I'm not sure if anyone else even saw it while we still lived in that house. Fast forward about 6 to 8 years, I was now somewhere around 21 or 22 years old and lived in a town an hour east of where we grew up. Me, my girlfriend, a good friend of mine, and his girlfriend decided we were going to pile up in my car and try to find a ghost on a bridge that my girlfriend told us about. It was supposedly the night and the time of the year to see her and close to the right time of night. The story was that the lady was walking on this back country road and somehow, while crossing over that bridge on the road, she lost grip of her baby and it fell into the flowing river. And the water, and then was lost. She jumped in after the baby and drowned. I know, generic, but we were looking to all, you know, to get spooked. We found the bridge. It was only about 2 car lengths long and barely wide enough for 2 cars to cross at the same time. There were trees and shrubs growing up all along the banks, and the creek was dry at its deepest. It was about 8 feet below the bridge. The story went that if you stopped on the bridge and shut your lights off and waited, you'd eventually see a lady standing at the railing of the bridge, looking over the edge, crying. My car had automatic headlights, so I had to shut the ignition off to get the headlight to turn off. It did not take long for me to feel spooked, so I double-checked that the windows were up and then hit the lock button to lock the doors. I got a little chuckle out of everyone in the car. My girlfriend was sitting in the front seat. My friend was sitting in the back seat behind my girlfriend, and his girlfriend was behind me. We sat there being quiet, trying to listen for any noise and watch for anything. It was kind of boring, actually, and I was about to chalk it up. It's just a ghost story. Then my friend said something like, "What the hell?" We all went quiet. I looked back at him. As he looked out his window down into the creek, he genuinely looked scared. I asked him what. He said, "There's a black dog down there looking at me, but it doesn't have a dog's body." He asked if it was a man's body. He just turned at me and nodded his head. I started the car as if it had wings. We'd have been flying. We did not go any slower than 95 miles an hour down that dirt road. Even when the road came onto a highway, I was still driving like our lives depended on it. When the tires hit the asphalt, there was a squeal. Normally, my girlfriend would have been punching me for driving like that, but this time, she just held on for the ride. We did not slow down for anything until we got to my sister's house on the other side of town. As soon as we got there, we all ran inside and locked the door behind us. We kind of freaked her out. When she asked what the hell we were doing, my friend told her. As he described what we saw, I realized he had described exactly what I had seen in the creek when I was growing up. Only he had never heard us talk of it at all. as we never, ever mentioned it after that one fateful night in the woods. Casey, could you please play Hazard? Because I think it might have been Mary that I saw that one night.
Oh!
Half dog, half man. Gerald, here's your long-distance dedication. Although Casey would wait to start the song until after that.
Of course.
I was going to try and hit the post, but yeah.
Is that one of your favorite songs, by the way?
Yes, it's a great song. It's such a creepy, weird song.
I have not heard that song in like 20 or 30 years or something like that. That's crazy.
I do it on karaoke sometimes. It's great. Hazard. And more of today's best variety coming up next on Sunny 97.
Exactly.
That was our station. I kept having Hazard run through my mind on this story. But I don't know. I mean, it gets weird with the weird dog body thing. I mean, what do you make of that?
That sounds a lot like, and I think we mentioned it on the podcast before, but it sounds like the Beast of Bray Road from Wisconsin.
Yeah, it does kind of.
That is supposed to be kind of like human-ish from like the neck down, mm-hmm. but like a dog head. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what would you rather see? Something like that that's clearly not like the ghost of a person or a person? Or would you rather go for this, you know, cryptoid thing that, you know, you don't know what the hell it is?
Nah, give me a ghost any day. Because at least, you know, probably in most cases, that energy, that spirit was a human at one time, more than likely. And we kind of have some answers on that, or at least we think we do. This other stuff, it's so creepy. It kind of blows your mind a second time. It's like, how is this even possible?
That's the thing with it. I mean, you can kind of look at the human type one and go, okay, that was that. But this, I mean, is it some sort of weird animal out there? Or, I mean, when you get to these weird combinations of like dog-like or goat-like things that are half kind of human-looking, that seem like they're just straight out of like a weird deck of like magic cards or something. right? I mean, and I never play magic. I just know like there's weird shit on those cards. But when you start to get to that, it almost gets like fantastical and into a realm that, you know, you may believe in ghosts, but maybe you don't quite believe in that stuff. But what if you then started seeing things like that? Is that like the realm of like demon type stuff? Or I mean, what? I don't know what that is.
I don't even know. I tend to try and stray from stories like that just because I know it's going to open and swallow me up. And then I'm going to be diving into all sorts of stuff and mm-hmm. I won't have any time to actually live my life.
Yeah.
So I think about that stuff and I'm someone who actually believes there's a ton of stuff, not just paranormal, like on the ghost side, but I think there's just a ton of stuff that a lot of us haven't seen, experienced, all that kind of stuff. So it's possible, and it's just a creepy story, and it starts off so much like us talking about ghosts in the graveyard.
I know.
Everybody's out there playing, you know, tag or hide and seek and all that kind of stuff, and it goes horribly wrong.
Yeah. I'm glad hide and seek like that didn't end in that way, because I think I'd still be underneath a sink somewhere shaking.
You're right.
My God. So have you watched The Conjuring 3 yet?
I did not see it yet.
Don't waste
tell
your
me
time.
About it. What can you say?
Don't waste your time.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
They've gone so off the rails with this series. And I really am fascinated by the Ed and Lorraine Warren stuff. I really am. And, you know, we have guests on the shows all the time that are part of the Nesper group. I'm friends with their grandson. And so, I mean, it's interesting hearing the real stories. And I know it's Hollywood. And I know you got to make things exciting. And I thought they did a really good job with the first Conjuring. That was one I was like, that was a good movie. Because it didn't seem to go too far over the top. But it was like, there's enough, you know, this, it felt like it was a Marvel movie with starring Ed and Lorraine Warren as the superheroes is how it felt. It was so over the top with monsters and just, I was like cringing the whole way through it. Cause I'm like, this is, I don't know. I mean, if we're going to look back here, if they want people to look back here on the legacy of Ed and Lorraine Warren with legitimacy, I don't know that these movies are the way to do it, quite honestly, because
right.
I think right. it makes it way too fantastical. And then people start going, that's not true. That's not that. But if you actually read, you know, their accounts and their books and things like that, it's much more plausible. It's like the stories we hear on our show. But when you get to this shit, I'm just like, this is just too far gone. I can't. I was so unimpressed. I mean, if you're just looking at it from a horror movie standpoint, okay. I mean, there's a lot of jump moments in it, but I have not watched The Duck on it yet. That's on Discovery Plus. I know Jeff Belanger is on that. I'm interested to hear more about the details of the true story that it's based mm-hmm. on and see just how out there they stretched this one, because I can't imagine it's anywhere near what the story was.
Right, right. So. And that, to me, that's kind of sad, because the reason why I liked the first one, it was more true to the actual story with yeah. just a little bit embellishment. Mm-hmm. So disappointing.
That's why I really enjoyed that series initially. I think I watched the second one. It's been a while. But
that's the one where they were in England, if you remember properly.
Yeah, the Enfield poltergeist, right?
Yep.
And that one wasn't that bad either. But this just took it completely off the rails. I don't know if it's a different director or what, but I was like, what the hell did I just watch?
I will skip it then. I will skip it.
It ain't worth it. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, I was wanting to share a story that started off, I would say I was about 16 years old. And frankly, I thought my dog talked. But I'm thinking it might be something a little more paranormal than just that. So my family had been avid pheasant hunters for a long time. And so we've had a lot of bird dogs and stuff like that. And the one we had at the time was a German short-haired pointer. And she would sleep with me most nights. And I've got a lot of hobbies. So I like to metal detect too. And I brought a lot of stuff in the house. Just little artifacts from old homesteads and things like that. Well, I think that might be the culprit of maybe this experience, but I was sleeping one night and the dog's in bed with me, and she was pretty young at the time. I'd say she was only, I don't know, maybe a year, 2 years old. She had to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. She'd get up and whine and, you know, stuff like that. Well, this particular night, I was trying to ignore her, just trying to go back to sleep, hoping she'd hold it till the morning. And she was kind of pawing at me in the middle of the night. And I looked up, and she was staring at my bedroom door. And I thought, you know, she's just got to go to the bathroom. She's just, you know, wanting to go outside. And then she hopped off the bed and sat on the floor and stared at the door and kept whining. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. That's out of character. And put under her collar, I heard a woman's voice very clearly my left ear ask, where are you going? And my first instinct was look to my left, and she's the only thing sitting beside me. And I was like, you know, what the hell did you just say? Because it's the only thing in the room that could make noise at, you know, whatever time it was in the middle of the night. And then it kind of hit me, like, you know, dogs can't talk. All the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I sprinted with her and Joe behind me outside. But the third from the back, all the lights on in the house. I was just wanting to get your opinion on what you thought that might be. It was really freaked me out at the time, and I haven't thought about it much. But I was thinking about it the other day, and I've been listening to your guys' show for a while now. And I really enjoy it and like the work you do, so keep it up. But yeah, I was just liking wanting to get your opinion on that and see what you guys had to say. Thank you very much.
I think it's pretty clear what was going on. Your dog was trying to seduce you. He was waiting for the moment to look into your eyes and slowly tell you he loves you. He wanted you to hold on to the night and cherish it forever. And if you would have done that, you would have better understood just what Snuckles meant at that moment to you. But now, Richard Marx.
Just when I believe.
So, I miss hitting posts.
I don't know what's going on tonight. I kind of get the feeling like you're trying to get me to quit this whole gig because of all this Richard Marx music. And I know you're a huge, huge, huge fan. And he's not on the top of my list. So, and especially that song. Like, I like a lot of his stuff, but that song in itself, it's like, please don't make me ever play this again because I played it millions and millions of times.
I just like old AC radio. That's what I like. So I'm always.
I know. He had the coolest hair, though, growing up, man. I wanted my hair to be just like Richard Marx.
You had George Michael hair. You did.
Thanks.
100%. Did I? Oh, God. Yeah. The first time I met you, I'm like, he looks like George Michael. Yeah, totally.
Dead. Yeah. Now he's dead.
Yeah, now he's exactly. Yeah. But yeah, no, you totally had the George Michael look going on for a while.
I'm not sure what you had because you were 14 at the time. So yeah. I don't know.
I had hair and then I turned like 18 and it all fell out. I had a comb over for a while, which was horrible. And then our receptionist at the radio station booked me an appointment at her salon and they kind of did that 90s spiky look to it.
Right.
I think that was after you left, though. I think I only had the comb over and it kind of looked like a bad Sam Donaldson or something.
Now that guy had some hair.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. What are your thoughts on this story with everything that he experienced?
Well, I mean, it really sounds to me like some sort of disembodied voice or something going on there. And it sounded intelligent to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it sounds like it could be so many, many things. Obviously the dog is not talking to you, but something there had something to say and you heard it, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because, I mean, I think anyone would almost do the same thing. I know I was joking about the dog, but I think you'd sit there and be like, did the dog make a sound that sounded like something?
Correct.
Because you're going to try and narrow all of it down. But my God, I don't think it was the dog by any means. But I think there was something that he heard that was just trying to communicate. And process of elimination, the dog was part of that process. But yeah, there you go. Thank you.
I was in a situation where we did a little bit of an investigation this last week.
Yep.
And this woman is, her phone is ringing. She's got a wall phone, like in the kitchen kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ringing and she picked it up one time and it was somebody whispering her name.
Oh God.
And then she's had it ring just once or twice. Like it'll just go bring. And then you'll hear a female voice kind of disembodied. You can't understand what it's saying, but there's a message after that. So, like, disembodied voices are not necessarily that uncommon if we actually pay attention.
But what are they, is the question. Is it something from another, is it a ghost? Is it just some sort of signal that's getting picked up on our random shit? Or, you know, because there's plausible explanations for a lot of it, but... You know, but until it gets kind of off or you kind of get some sort of message or something, clearly that's not just a random, you know, CB radio triggering something.
Right. I think it's kind of a mix between energy that's there, another plane of existence, and some sort of weird communication. I've seen evidence where they were talking and the responses were like right there with them. And they were audible.
Yeah.
And you're like, who is doing this? Where's the hidden speaker?
Yeah.
And it's just not. So I think it's a mix between the energy that's there that we can't necessarily see, normally don't hear, and some sort of another plane of existence that's kind of colliding with where we're at.
Would you consider the voices that come out of like the spirit box a disembodied voice?
No. I would consider a disembodied voice only if you heard it with your ears, no additional form of equipment used. Just, so not a recorder, not a spirit box, nothing like that.
I mean, like a recorder could pick it up, but it has to be heard audibly, not just on playback.
Disembodied would be, yes. That would be an EVP if it was on recorder. Disembodied is you're standing right there and you hear the voice right in front of you, but there's nothing there.
Okay. Oh, creepy stuff. 855-853-4802. Hi, let's hear your story.
My name is Jamar. I am from Connecticut, and I wanted to talk about a story that my grandmother, she passed away a few years ago. she told me a lot of great ghost stories. She was, I guess she had like the energy that people talk about, like ghosts are very attracted to, which is why she had so many experiences. And one thing that she told me about one time when my mother was little, so this is way before I even existed, they had a home where it was, the house was perched near the railroad. This is Bridgeport, Connecticut, so everybody knows that has visited Bridgeport, Connecticut. There are a lot of railroad tracks and railroad bridges. So she was, of course, her house was over there. And she said that one time while she was hanging up the laundry for dry, she saw a man that was headless walking towards the house. And she like screamed, of course, and freaked out, checked to see where the kids were. You know, it was very heart-curdling. And then she later found out from her friend that it was a Latino man a few years ago that drove on the railroad. And when he got hit by the train track, he was decapitated. So she felt like he still is in that area. And so, you know, they eventually left that area. But that's just like one of the stories that she told me. There's another ones that I'll call back when I get more information from my mom about. Just kind of don't want to like tell a fib. But yeah, that's one story I remember her telling me. She's also half Native American as well too, so she was very, very, very spiritual. But thank you.
All right, thanks for sharing that story. Thoughts?
You know, the typical story of a headless torso walking up.
Yeah, who doesn't have one?
You do hear that kind of stuff. And of course, one of the most famous is the Headless Horseman and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's interesting to know why, if you pass and your energy is still hanging around, why, if you lost your head in some sort of accident, you would no longer have your head as you're presenting yourself. But there is some talk about energies being able to present themselves as they want to. So you might present yourself in a younger version or an older version, or I guess a beheaded version if you wanted to.
It kind of depends on the personality, I guess, of the person. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to be 18 today. No, I'd rather be the headless mess that came out of that accident. That, I think, would be a little more effective in terms of getting people's attention.
Correct.
Gosh, yeah. So are you stuck then, I wonder? Like, once you pick your identity of what you're going to look like on the other side, can you change that up? Or are you kind of...
I think you can present yourself differently to different people.
Okay.
And I also think that sometimes people get stuck, and I've heard this, I've not never experienced it or anything, but you get stuck in your death state, which means that traumatic experience, you relive it over and over and over as residual energy. So you could die every day at the same time in the same way.
It's like Groundhog's Day.
Kind of, yeah, for the dead.
God. Yeah, that's a fun thought to think about as everyone's going to bed. That would be horrible. I have dreams like that where I keep having the same dream over and over and over all night. And it's like, stop. I need to break that by like watching a show or something.
Right.
Gosh, that'd be horrible. But it's interesting that the mind kind of works that way sometimes, though, too, when it's trying to work things out. It's almost like your energy is would be trying to do the same thing on the other side if that's what you kind of get stuck in.
Right. I mean, you mentioned it like with dreams and stuff. Sometimes when I'm sleeping, I'm thinking about stuff and I'm thinking about the weirdest stuff, but I get caught in that cycle and I can't stop thinking. It could be anything. It could be a work project, could be a project around the house, and you get stuck thinking about doing it. You're sleeping, but you're really not. And I guess you're right. Maybe you get stuck in the same way once you're gone.
That would not be a state. I want to be like in the good dreams when I'm gone. I don't want to be stuck in that weird... That would be horrible. That no.
I want to be in a recliner with a stogie and some wine.
Yeah.
That's how I want to be.
That'll be good. That's a good dream to have. Not the like the repetition of the CD players aren't working and nothing's going to queue up. Man. And I still have that dream. I have that dream.
Me
and
too,
I have
all the time. Now, but let me just ask you something. Is there a specific station you dream about when you're having that dream?
I'm usually in Green Bay at WISS.
Oh, my God.
I'm at 112 South Jefferson Street in the old school building. Yep.
Why is it? Why is it always that station? None of the others.
I didn't ever work at any where we had. Well, we had automation, but that was the only one where we had the two CDs back to back. Although we had that in Wausau too, but I don't know. It was the first time I really had to pay attention to that level of being on the air because every 3 minutes you're flipping CDs, and we had questionable CD players at best.
Right.
And there'd be times where it was just like, is this going to work? And sometimes they would go out and you're stuck there and you're trying to make it sound good. I don't know. I mean, that building though, too, are you wondering if there's something about that building? Because I don't think we've ever talked about that building on this show, but there's people who've said that building's got stuff in it and is haunted.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the building or if it was the experience there, because mine wasn't necessarily always the best experience at that situation. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if that kind of holds on. But every time I have a nasty dream about working in radio, whether it's I can't speak, I can't see, I can't get the CD players, whatever it is that radio station every time.
I'm in that studio and... But I mean, there was a lot of creepiness to that building. I mean, it was an old schoolhouse, right? And there's the auditorium is in there, and it looks like it was used like once a year for the telethon for the TV station in the basement. And other than that, you go into that auditorium, and it was the old wooden seats, and it looked like you were going back in time. And the halls, you know, they're all, you know, very old and kind of cracking and. I don't know. There was just kind of something weird about that building that kind of creeped me out. And it's just kind of a labyrinth of rooms. Have you been in there since because the radio stations aren't there anymore. Have you been in there since they've like moved them out?
No. And I don't know of anything else that's in that building. So I would think that the first, second and third floors or how many floors are completely empty at this point. I mean, that building was in such disrepair when we were there. I can't imagine it's got anything in it now other than the TV station in the basement.
Gosh, I wonder. That would be an interesting one to see
what it looks
like.
Let's do it. Next time you're home, let's take a trip.
Yeah, we could probably get in there fairly easily. It was never hard to not get in there when we worked there. People, you could get in there and wander around. That'd be fun. That would be fun. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast Person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. And I'll keep us on the air. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.